This is episode 135 of the AIM News podcast, which covers anarchist activity, ideas, and conversations from the previous week on anarchistnews.org. It's designed to be useful to anarchists and the anarcho-curious. Give us feedback and constructive criticism by email at podcast@anarchistnews.org. For more information and usually some good commentary, see you at your favorite non-sectarian anarchist site, anarchistnews.org.
Editorial on rootedness or something. For the last couple of months, I've been on Twitter, which is an extremely strange place, to say the least. Inhabiting this strange space are people constantly in the process of making and consuming identities, or really personal brands, based on being a partisan of increasingly niche philosophy, politics, and/or styles of humor. If I viewed this in the most delusionally positive light imaginable, it would seem that people are becoming agents in subcultural or identity creation. However, when you zoom a few clicks, like one click, out from that sunny view, the image of consumption appears, with ourselves as product and consumer. This makes total sense as we live in a consumer's world. We're taught to view politics, identity, culture, etc. as consumable material. You know, critical theory 101. But even while fulfilling this role of digital consumer and consumed, no one seems particularly happy. Instead, it mostly feels like we're, scare quotes, connected to a bunch of people drifting not only through cyberspace, but meat space as well. In my head, I imagine that all the ways in which people aren't in control of their lives because of capitalism, the state, etc., might be crystallized in a feeling of only temporarily being stuck in any physical location due to constraint or desperation. This feeling is something I've resonated with a lot recently for a number of reasons, but I'm sure the foundation of those feelings is mostly whiteness, being a part of that group which is everywhere but supposedly comes from nowhere. And I'm sure a similar drifting is felt by a vast number of people with different backgrounds, but I, of course, can only speak for my own. So, how could things be different? How can I cope with drift? How can I create, synthesize, revive, or what have you, a feeling of rootedness in the world, in my case knowing the reason that my feet touch this dirt is because of horrors. It's a process that, if it can happen at all, will take generations and cycles upon cycles upon cycles of decay and growth, of my matter becoming a part of the dirt I live on, and perhaps somehow being part of a legacy in some shape or form. For me, I hope that legacy is anarchy and the people I know as anarchists, and as for the place, I hope it's where I am now, but really who knows. What seems clearest to me is that this process will not only be one of learning to live with others in a way that is good for me and them, but also learning how and preparing to die around others and how that can act maybe as the start of becoming rooted.
What's new this week? Anarchist statements on riots that broke out on Ayotzinapa anniversary from its going down. Quoting heavily from last week's statement from Mexican unstructured anarchists, but with a lot more images, tweet inclusions, and a bit of riot porn video, this post is also in support of property destruction and attack. Quote, in that sense, the incendiary attack on Gandhi's bookstore, which has so alarmed civilians, that is, domesticated ones, is nothing personal, nor is it inspired by fascist anti-intellectualism or the obscurantist vision against the sinful readings. It was not against a library, it was against the merchandise, and in this sense, it was inconsequential whether the store in question sold books, underwear, plasma screens, computers, or mattresses. We have no doubt that ideas are also merchandise in consumer windows. For example, the cups of coffee with the circle A for sale in the branches of the Gandhi chain of stores. Unquote. An appropriate challenge to the hot topification of anarchy, among other things.
The Nationalists and the Jihadists Together from CrimeThink, provider of easily accessible propaganda materials for the masses. Here they give us all a flyer on why we should not rely on states to fight against other states, as the U.S., of course, turns its back on the YGP to support Turkey. It absurdly fixates on Trump as if Obama would have done substantively differently. Anyway, CrimeThink again jumps on a topical subject to reiterate some acceptable, if extremely basic, anarchist principles in a context of statecraft that is far away from anything that any anarchists on the ground have any influence over to implicitly support our awesome anarchist delusions of grandeur. Quote, in order to defeat an Islamist army equipped with all the weaponry the U.S. abandoned in Iraq, the SDF concluded that they had no choice other than to depend on the United States military for air support. It was inevitable that once they had served their purpose, the U.S. would betray them, but they felt that they had no other choice. If we don't want future popular movements against fascist and fundamentalist insurgencies to end the same way, what do we have to do? How should we be organizing today? Unquote. I guess it's a step that they're asking questions, even if the questions do beg the answers. Anyway, it ends with a picture of beautiful militarized youth. So inspirational. /S.
The Tower statement on backlash after the Bernier demo. From North Shore Counter Info, Hamilton, Ontario. A message from the Tower in Hamilton that is disappointing on multiple fronts. First, racism sucks, and no matter how common or predictable, hearing stories about people and media being fucked up continue to be depressing. Second, having to choose between no-platforming assholes and right-wing jerks slash media scapegoating is no fucking choice at all. Third, usually the messaging from the Tower is anarchist and solid. This post, however, only talks about anti-fascism, which sucks on the face of it, and is part of a depressing-as-fuck tendency to invisibilize what is actually strong about anarchists to dumb down to the level of most of the population, since most everyone agrees that fascism is bad. Why is dumbing down shit such a common fucking pitfall? Ugh! Never mind me, I'll just be muttering in the corner again.
Revolutionary anarchist armed strugglers claim bombing of Mafia Club. From Anarchist Worldwide. One of the many communiques this week, this one by GANA, on the bombing of a quote-unquote Mafia Club that was trafficking women. The communique makes 3 points. The second one is, quote, the center of Athens, and in particular, the tourist area of the so-called historical center, is the most well-preserved area of Athens. This is where the anti-terrorist police has a 24-hour presence, so by carrying out this action, we are sending a message to the Greek state that we have the ability to penetrate and hit targets not only in Exarchia, but also in other parts of Athens, unquote. Dramatic actions are dramatic. Attacks on Exarchia don't seem to be slowing the Greeks down. We can only hope.
50 police taken hostage in Ecuador. From AMW English. 50 police were taken hostage in protests against neoliberal policies. As a word person, I'm surprised it's taken me so long to notice that police and policy are so close to each other. Anyway, quote, on October 3 in Quito, the capital of Ecuador, anarchists, some carrying red and black flags, fought alongside students, setting flaming barricades and throwing rocks at riot police, who they forced to retreat. Anarchists have been on the forefront of the struggle against IMF-imposed reforms and against the police state that is attempting to enforce these reforms with brutality. Unquote. Protesters burned a tank and made the army retreat, according to a tweeted video. Thanks, Nettle. Quote, an umbrella group for indigenous groups in the country, the Confederation of Indigenous Nations in Ecuador, said it was declaring a state of exception in indigenous areas where soldiers and police officers would be detained and would face indigenous justice, unquote. A national strike was called for. If people have more up-to-date info, I hope you put it in the comments. Spanish readers? Anyone?
Money without the state. Do we really need to say where this essay comes from? Yes, indeed, it's C4SS, but you knew that already. That said, this is a smart and thoughtful essay that relies heavily on Graeber's book Debt to consider what a currency is and what it could be. Also, most of the comments are on point and knowledgeable. All in all, a grade A news experience. Of course, my own response to pondering economic concepts in general is that they are philosophically reformist, however well-intentioned, because they accept too much of the premise of our current world. That said, being philosophically anarchist doesn't get one very far in this world, and it's all about moving back and forth, up and down and around in circles in the dance. Just saying. Quote, this is the core paradox of money without the state. It will inevitably be used without the state being there to stop its usage, but it cannot be used while the state is present. Again, the insurrectionary, rather than revolutionary, solution presents itself. As people free themselves from the state, moving beyond its reach and fighting back against it, they will begin to be able to, and as the state retreats ever further, have to, carry on their affairs with each other. But this infrastructure needs to be in place, waiting for them, before they need it. There won't be time to build this stuff when we need it. If you're reading this and you have any capability to program an app, coin, or whatever that works like this, you need to do that. It is absolutely imperative that your version of this be out there, waiting for us, in case we need it, unquote. Okay, that last line is pretty silly, but we're moving on now.
Anathema Volume 5, Issue 6. Learning lessons from the Hong Kong protesters. Hey kids, put traffic cones over live tear gas canisters and then pour water on them. Announcing the increase in a certain target one can chase. Notes on Chile, on the climate strike in Canada, and an inflammatory Nechevian anti-cop poem. A brief issue from this reliable publication. Quote, we need this understanding of global systems so we don't keep offering up political solutions that don't work. How much time have leftists and anarchists already spent on campaigning for and debating about the latest presidential candidates, and the election is still more than a year away? How much of our energy do we want to pour into this mess when we have lives to live and a whole world to lose? Don't fall for electoral politics. It's been a trap every time so far, and it will be again in 2020. Unquote. That's from the Bernie story.
Jeremy Hammond ruled in contempt of federal grand jury from Unicorn Riot. Fuck. Quote, Hammond pleaded guilty in 2013 to hacking a defense contractor named Stratfor as part of the anonymous linked hacking crew known as LOLSEC. It is unclear what, if anything, the EDVA federal grand jury is investigating, but based on his anarchist principles, Hammond has refused to testify in any capacity. Attorneys for Hammond have attempted to raise to Judge Trenga that Hammond would not testify, and holding him in contempt would not compel his testimony. It is a common defense strategy in grand jury resistance, known as Grumbel's motion, to raise that holding a grand jury resister any further will not compel their testimony. Previous resisters have been held for over 250 days. Judge Trenga dismissed that motion in his ruling earlier today, unquote. Hammond's sentence has been suspended, which means that he won't be getting out in December of this year. Write him, people.
Of Egg and Chicken, a report back from It's Going Down by Anon. Some folks were invited to help create an anarchist and communist international federation. The organizing group didn't want to make too many decisions before inviting members, but needed to have something to invite the members to. At least, this is the part of the organizing that this report back focuses on, hence the chicken slash egg of the title. Many invitees to this opening conference disagreed with the decisions slash assumptions that had been made before they got there. Discussions were had. Quote, personally, I framed attention to myself and the many others I spoke with as attention within the concept of democracy itself. On the one hand, democracy can be identified as a process by which a certain set of rules and procedures are deemed legitimate. The parliamentary scheme developed on the internet prior to the Congress, the shell, was democratic in this sense. In principle, anyone could have had a hand in shaping it, it had its own procedures internal to it for amendment, and it was ratified by all the people who voted for it prior to the Congress. But there is another sense that the word democratic invokes, the qualitative transformation in relationships, the feeling between people of mutual recognition and egalitarian partnership in constructing a common world. In the second assembly on Friday, we got a small taste of this transformation, and I stress that it was an affective change, something that is difficult to precisely define or plan for, but a shared feeling. This was still happening within the shell, and it still felt a bit rushed, but there was still a shift. The question for me was whether we would continue to go deeper on that path, or whether the first sense of democracy would reassert itself. Unquote. If this report back doesn't give you PTSD flashbacks, you're lucky. It's probably worth reading, even if the narrator is potentially unreliable. Aren't we all, really?
Germany, two excavators torch from Anarchists Worldwide, a communique from Leipzig announcing that two construction slash destruction machines were burned. They belong to a company that has worked on developing the land previously hosting the ZAD and that also builds prisons. There was also a protest against this company at the G7 summit in Biarritz.
Announcing the 2019 Seattle Anarchist Book Fair, November 30th to December 1st, you have the opportunity to hang out with some posers calling themselves anarchists. Knock yourselves out. Chisel posted this to ANews and stands by their tags.
Claim for the attack on a drug dealer's restaurant from Act for Freedom Now. Very short communique. Quote, in the afternoon of September 14th, we broke into a restaurant in Exarchia Square. Last summer, this establishment opened its doors and was destined to become another bastion of drug trafficking in Exarchia. For us, this action is part of a broader struggle against state plans to install drug trafficking in Exarchia in order to undermine the antisocial libertarian character of the area.
It should be noted that although the squadrons of the MAT, Riot Control Police, encamp near the square, drug trafficking continues unabated, unquote.
Toward a revolutionary environmental movement from CLAC, which I had not heard of before, and which an Anon says came from NEFAC. Really, the best thing I can think to do here is quote Anon again. Quote, "Of course anarchists of whatever stripe are free to organize or collaborate with anyone they prefer, but if their preference is to form alliances with Leninists, nationalists, or other authoritarian types, all of whom throughout history have been happy enough to use anarchist energy to further their own idiotic agendas, and who then easily enough dispense with troublesome freethinkers and lawbreakers, often homicidally, once they've served their purpose, then it's natural that other anarchists will call them on it." Unquote. Nuff said.
40 years of incarceration, let's tell the world about anarchist political prisoner Bill Dunn, from Abolition Media Worldwide. Another name to add to the Write Them Now list. Imprisoned for helping someone else escape, he also attempted to escape himself. Since then, he has been in high security prisons. Quote, "Since 2014, he has been in three different medium security federal institutions here in California. The transition from maximum security institutions to medium security ones in 2014 also was the same year that his first parole hearing took place. In December of 2014, Bill was denied parole and received a 15-year hit. During those 15 years, he still has what is referred to as interim parole hearings, but he has been denied at both of those as well. The reason they've provided each time is that he is still in communication with anarchist groups and individuals. Not only are maintaining relationships with like-minded individuals inside and outside of prison important to Bill, but he has found great joy in teaching GED classes at almost every prison he has been at so far, and he has helped many prisoners get their GED," unquote. Want to know how to survive in prison and maintain as much sanity as possible? Write one of these long-timers. Also, there's a flyer to post to spread the word about this lesser-known anarchist inmate.
Toulouse by night. Eurovia construction machine torched, from anarchists worldwide. More burning equipment, this time in France. Quote, "For several months, the construction sites of a business zone around the Matabio station in Toulouse have been continuing with their vast enterprise of destroying old houses and districts. The TESO, Toulouse Euro Sud-Ouest, project aims to reconfigure the city into a technological police and tourist metropolis, a gargantuan project that, strangely enough, involves the same companies that are building more and more prisons. Eurovia, a Vinci subsidiary, saw one of its machines burn down on the night of October 4th at the Arago Square gentrification site, extending the redevelopment of the entire area to accommodate these dynamic and flexible executives away from the yellow, black, and green rages that converge." Unquote.
Chile, call for transport sabotage and fare evasion, from anarchists worldwide. A call for the type of action that will probably become more and more popular again as governments fail more and more blatantly. Quote, "The call is that from Monday, October 7th of this year, sabotage and evade. A burnt microbus will not give us back anything, neither will a cop. But it is the action we have had to take against power and its henchmen. A warm embrace to the political prisoners, to the subversives of the social war. A bullet to the lackeys and the rich of this country," unquote.
Audio and video. Radio interview with Anarchist Federation about Brexit and more. 22 minutes from Anarchist Federation, UK. As the title states, this is an interview with some anarchist folks in the UK about the possible effects of Brexit. After first listening to this, I felt that the interviewees actually did a good job of not talking about whether anarchists should be for or against Brexit, or what anarchists needed to do to stop it. However, upon further reflection, I realized this was because they avoided talking about anarchists almost altogether, instead focusing on how this would affect quote-unquote workers and quote-unquote immigrants rather than themselves. I realize that my anarchism isn't everyone's, but I guess I'm a whole lot more interested in people talking about their everyday lives.
Anarchy Bang, Democracy, 2 hours. Quote, "This episode is going to be a bit meta. Anarchists have been critiquing the hell out of democracy for about a decade, following in the footsteps of the best of the anti-state communist world. Peak critique was Crime Think's 10-part series on democracy, The Party's Over, which we'll refer to a lot for this week's discussion. Despite being boring, it speaks around some interesting points. It's all about police, presidents, and majorities, whereas I hope this episode will be more about high-minded principles, concepts, and orders of operations. Do we still think in 20th century abstractions, or has the internet, postmodernism, and social media reality make those discussions seem a little quaint? All this and more on Sunday at noon Pacific Standard Time, unquote.
An anarchist analysis of the impeachment crisis 52 minutes from its going down. If we had a category of embarrassments, this would be Jackie's pick for this month, maybe for this year. It could have been called the news roundup for the impeachment and perhaps not posted on IGD, but it's not, and it was. This is a monologue by a single voice who has been paying way a lot of attention to mainstream media and implicitly takes the side of U.S. spies, as if Trump being king bald-faced liar among a court of other bald-faced liars means that anything that U.S. spies say is worth anarchists paying attention to, unless it's to learn how they lie. Tom actually talks about things being illegal as if anarchists give a shit about politicians doing illegal things. This is not anarchist analysis. It's anarchist analysis to not trust anyone who has gotten elected, disbelieve all corporate media on spec, remember that the state is not only the president or the president's party, etc., etc., et fucking cetera. Tom Nomad has been spending too much time with people who are not anarchists and needs to get back in the game. Even the write-up at least acknowledges that this impeachment hoo-ha might not be our fight. That's not to say, dear Luke in D.C., that we don't all be affected by it, but that's a different thing. I guess it's not surprising that IGD podcast guests will have swallowed the anti-fascist equals anarchist pill without chewing. Tom could easily have said all of this on the Rachel Maddow show. Maybe that's next. Admission, I cut it off with 4 minutes left. Maybe those were the crucial 4 minutes that would have made the whole hour worthwhile.
It's going down, and you're invited. For what they're selling, we ain't buying. There is no running, there is no hiding. There's only fighting or dying.
Topic of the week, resilience. Resilience, the capability of a strained body to recover its size and shape after deformation caused especially by compressive stress. 2. An ability to recover from or easily adjust to misfortune or change. The buzzword of resilience is excessively uncritically applied to how the government and businesses recover after a natural disaster such as a hurricane. Natural disasters are recurrent, and some types, like hurricanes, are increasingly frequent and are sometimes predictable and expected. The response of the population, the environment ecosystem, the infrastructure, the government, NGOs, the businesses, and the markets is also recurrent and somewhat predictable. This is taken into account by all these entities and individuals in order to prepare for such events, and this increases resiliency. This allows for a successful and quicker recovery of the status quo. Businesses, disaster as usual, and the recuperation, as in co-optation or neutralization, of solidarity and mutual aid efforts that naturally arise after such disasters. Disaster capitalism is a concept that refers to the ways in which business interests can be furthered when disasters strike. Disaster poses an opportunity for expanding or controlling markets, or gaining support as a politician or an NGO through clientelism. So-called anarchist or armchair so-called anarchist or activist response has so far focused on similar approaches of mutual aid as a way to gain support in competition or as a complement to the other entities mentioned. If urban resilience is viewed as counterposed with ecological resilience, and city reconstruction is seen as counterposed with reforestation, for example, we can see disasters as opportunities for counter-resistance. That is, an opportunity for change and transformation of the entities that are resistant to change. More specifically, to counteract the encroachment of the city into the small pockets of areas that are less destroyed by human activity, and to make the most out of the slowdown of the destructive pace of the supply chains, disasters also affect the most those that are worse off, while those that are better off are more prepared. Urban resilience reinforces inequalities of wealth and power. In their current form, cities inherently lack resilience. They depend on throughputs of matter and energy that are utterly unsustainable, and consequently endure only because they externalize the consequent social and ecological damage. In other words, by systemically undermining resilience elsewhere, their primary function, reflecting the main unstated policy goal of almost every government in the world, is to ensure that wealth and power accrue disproportionately to those who already have both in excess. At everyone else's expense. An inevitable consequence of increasing inequality is to intensify resource flows to even less sustainable levels, further undermining resilience in the city itself, its constituent subsystems, and connected systems elsewhere. Let's discuss the ways in which we can even the odds and make the most out of cycles of preparedness, response, and recovery to disasters that we're becoming more and more familiar with as their frequency increases. Let's talk about counter-resilience, the capacity to resist or overcome the imposition of the status quo's resilience. Let's talk about disaster insurgents, those who make the most out of disruption of infrastructure that facilitates policing, patrolling, surveying, and governance, and try to make it so that what results in the aftermath of disaster is not back to normal, but an irreversible change and a new state of affairs contrary to the business schemes, centralized planning, and high command. Thanks to Anonymous for the topic of the week submission via email at collective@anarchistnews.org. Initial thoughts, Ariel. Hello, welcome back.
Hello. I feel like I need to do some kind of disclaimer about the...
The reading?
Yeah, the reading.
Aragorn the, bad.
The dramatization in the reading is that of Aragorn's and Aragorn's alone. And
yeah, it doesn't represent...
Does not represent, well, pretty much anything anywhere.
Yeah. Aragorn bad.
Hi. This topic is huge.
Yeah, it's really big.
So there's that. And
it also feels like somebody has been visiting Brooklyn, New York recently.
It does feel like someone has been visiting Brooklyn, although
it's more coherent. It has an anarchist sound, not a commie sound.
There was this great, I'm going to say was, because it was around when I was in New York, and I'm not sure if they're still around, project in Brooklyn that talked about New York and, you know, basically emergency and disaster preparedness and did lots of writing and reporting about it. And it was absolutely amazing and fascinating and really good research work and reinforces how doomed you are, because the primary means of evacuation out of the five boroughs, if there is some kind of major emergency or disaster, is the subway system. Yeah, nobody's going to die. That's going to be great. I see the paragraph at the end, but I'm still not convinced that I understand what the person who wrote the question wants to talk about. If you want to, do they want to talk about resiliency? Which just kind of feels like a slightly more theoretical bounce around, but that's as big as capitalism or the state or racism or... talking about, I'm not sure that I know what cycles of preparedness are. Talking about preparedness, response, recovery, that seems a little more manageable. We've done that before a bit. I'm feeling a little overwhelmed. What do you help with direction here, Aragorn?
Well, I mean, the end, to the extent to which it is a direction, sort of says, let's be smarter than the system that we're currently in when it comes to what happens next time around. But, you know, the problem with resiliency, as described in this topic of the week, is that it's an example of what you get when you spend the rest of the time doing infrastructure and having, you know, emergency systems prepared for the next kind of emergency, as long as it's like the last kind of emergency.
Right.
Resiliency is a benefit. It's not something you necessarily specifically think about or intentionalize. And so by doing that, which is obviously the goal of this topic of the week, it's sort of like another way to say, man, rich people or the state sure have a lot of things that they can do come the day of days, and we sure don't.
Okay, well, it feels a little bit like that's what's happening here. So, okay, I'm with you.
And but that's, I think, a problem that we evidence all the time in radical politics, is that we can fucking put our finger right on the thing that we cannot accomplish at all.
Right.
And that very much feels like the goal here. But that said, this is a place to have a conversation about, you know, that goes beyond like, we'll do mutual aid faster and harder, which does tend to seem to be the anarchist approach to how to deal with disasters as they happen. You know, if we agree on nothing else, I think we can agree that the next 100 years are going to be not just an annual series of, but like a perpetual series of disaster, depending on where you are.
Right.
And, you know, the U.S. is such a large country that there's probably a disaster happening right now. And that's if you don't count the water systems and other infrastructure things. So what would it look like for us to build for resiliency? Is that the right thing for us to build? Or should we be building for destroying the current existing order?
Okay, so just as a point of clarification, is this the same thing as having a discussion about, because we live where we live in California, earthquake kits and water and better preparedness and emergency food meal packages? And is this that, or is this something else?
I think that they are trying to be a bit more tycoon, in that they're basically saying that is individuated resilience.
Uh-huh.
And that what we need is whatever the next step bigger is.
Sure.
It doesn't look like just a bunch of separated individuals who more or less will thrive or not thrive based on how much money they have, but instead looks like, how is it that we thrive based on how many people we have?
Oh, I missed that. Okay. That is an entirely different question.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And it's big and hard and no one has the answer.
Yeah. So this also seems that there's an implication in there that in the destruction of a natural disaster, perhaps we can take advantage of the chaos and there can be more targeted destruction.
This doesn't seem to be coming off like a individualist anarchist or insurrectionary anarchist rant. I think this is more a rant that, like, whatever it is that it would take to have resilience, do we have that? What does that look like?
Okay.
What does that look like in our current social environment?
Right. Well, I mean,
and they're also making a dig about cities.
Yes.
Where they're basically saying that we should be thinking about resilience in the context of cities, which, of course, at the same time, sort of saying cities are terrible.
Okay. Well, there are lots of reasons why cities are terrible.
Let's discuss the ways in which we can even the odds and make the most out of the cycles of preparedness, response, and recovery to disasters that we're becoming more and more familiar with as their frequency increases. So, you know, again, like, okay. I mean, there's a hopper full of things in here.
Right. This is why we're spending 5 minutes doing this.
More like almost 12.
Well, okay, we took 5 minutes to read the damn thing, just to be clear. okay. So the poster talks about in the beginning about disasters and capitalism and how it's all just a boon, and I think that that's important. It's important to remember. There's no good politics in preparedness in this country. All the good politics comes from being the politician who leads his people after a disaster. You can find articles about it. It's why we're not putting money into, the politician doesn't want to put billions into rebuilding bridges and building infrastructure.
I know.
They want to put that billions into the recovery.
I know,
because
that when
that's better politics, it makes them look better. It's how you win elections.
But obviously, right? When you're talking about good politics, that means bad politics.
Well, I was speaking from the politician's point of view. There's no good politics from my point of view. So I'm just saying that I think that that part is absolutely dead on, and that's absolutely positively not going to change. And so resiliency for our part has to, yeah, absolutely look like outside of that. And I suppose if there's anybody who might even be remotely prepared for that, it should be anarchists. You know, it's certainly not my aunts and uncles.
I mean, the anarchists that do race out to do mutual aid type groups when disasters strike out are the people who are the best equipped to do it.
Sure.
They're not people in big cities.
They're not?
I don't think so.
Interesting.
They're people in small towns.
Okay.
I mean, obviously the big example we always turn to would be Katrina.
Right.
Those people all came from Texas, not just Austin.
Oh, okay.
Actually, if you talk about Standing Rock, those kids, which I've been meeting a lot of lately, are from everywhere.
Okay.
And they're not big city kids.
Okay. So a further indication that us big city folk are screwed?
Useless.
No, because there are plenty of people in the city who are far more useless than me, and I only have to outrun them. I feel like I'm having a terrible time landing somewhere. I guess part of the problem is, for the most part, to the extent that I understand what the poster is saying, I think basically everything the poster is saying is correct. And my answer is, I don't know. And that's not an interesting answer and doesn't make for good conversation.
Well, luckily we're almost done. Does it put you in a mind that you've gone awry? In other words, this should be the kind of thing that you're thinking about? Or does this never seem like the kind of thing that you should have been
thinking
about?
There's a way that it is a thing that I'm thinking about. And there's a way that the people that I live with on the property that I live on, it is a conversation that we have. And it is actually a conversation that you and I have had right here before. Because where we live, a natural disaster is going to make travel incredibly difficult. And other anarchists, there's distance between us and them. And so when you think about these things and you talk about the people around you and you try to use the word community, really what you mean is your neighbors. And right. We don't have a relationship with our neighbors.
Actually, we do, but...
Okay. We don't have this kind of relationship with our neighbors. And so does it make me think that perhaps we should?
Sure.
And there's a way that there's actually a program through the city that you can do where you can become some kind of emergency point where the city gives you a generator and water and then people can come to you for help. And okay, there's something about, well, blah, the city's involved in that. But right. Hey, I get a generator and then you do actually become a point for people to be useful. And so maybe,
and it's only $1,000. Like,
maybe I've never taken that seriously as I should. Maybe if I want this to be about resilience outside of the power of the state and the reach of wealth, then I need to focus on my neighbors and the people that I can walk to when the rest of the city is shut down for one of the, I don't know, half a dozen reasons that the city might be shut down.
Like the power could be shut off
for days. And then the power could be shut off for days. But none of that is like, that's going to be anarchist for me, but it's not going to be me engaging with anarchists in an anarchist project because I'm surrounded by normal people, lawyers and tech dudes. So, but maybe that's the answer anyway.
Sure.
And I don't want to think about that being the answer anyway.
It's a crappy answer.
You know, when the anarchists I like the most live
away
7 miles up the freeway. That's a really long way away.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, even anarchists that are closer are still about a mile away. You know, that's a walk. And if you've got to lug supplies and right, like this, all just, it just changes the way you, it changes the metric a little bit. So, thanks for the question and the thoughtfulness, Anonymous. I'm sorry I didn't do you better, I guess.
Thank you very much, Ariel.
Thanks.
Don't you worry. No more ashes, no more sackcloth. and an armband made of black cloth we'll someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go.
This podcast. This week's podcast was sound edited by Greg. The What's New was written by Jackie and Greg and read by Chisel and Greg. The editorial is by Greg. And we thank Aragorn and a friend for the help with the topic of the week, resilience, submitted by Anon. Contact us at podcast@anarchistnews.org. To learn more, anarchist and anti-political books, pamphlets, and other material are available at littleblackcart.com. For news by and or about anarchists and up-to-the-minute commentary, see you at anarchistnews.org and or the Anarchist News IRC chat room linked on AIM.
We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake with complete participation in that grand incineration. Nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak.